J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Is it true that you've been married to the same woman twice?
Yeah.
And so you were married once, and then you got a divorce.
Yeah, and couldn't help myself. What we ended up doing was hanging out all the time.
Right.
You know, because we really didn't know how to really be apart.
Right.
It's just that when we were married and living in the house and all of that, it was just that we didn't know how to do that. My parents are married 46 years, and they looked tremendous. And, you know, the first time I was married, like, you know, just under an hour. It was like my friends would come over to my house. I was already like a burglar in my own home. I mean, they'd come over and say, Daryl would say, oh, shut up. She's right there. Now, you see, like, if you guys laugh at that at all, it's because you must know what it's like to drop a towel on the floor and hear an alarm go off. Because you broke a rule, the kind of rule which exists only in a house full of love. Yes, here you'll find rules for the bathroom, rules for the kitchen, rules for the sweet and low dispenser. That stack of dishes in the sink, how long can they stay there? You'd better know. Because somebody knows. And since there's only two of you on the rules committee, how much you want to bet it ain't you. Now, you don't get divorced because the thrill is gone. It's because you don't know how to stack the tapes right underneath the VCR. Or you put the spoon... My wife would get so mad at me that the hole in her mouth was no longer big enough for all the topics to come out at one time. And she'd like yell at me as I'd being yelled at by an auctioneer, like, Daryl, damn it! $100 bid, $100 seat, $100 bid.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Monday, March 20th, 2023, 10 days until opening day and our opening day extravaganza here on the J.C. Corcoran Podcast. How you doing, kids? You are at jconline.com. Everybody's going to end up in the hospital in 3 or 4 days from being outside, particularly a goddamn soccer game on Saturday night where I just couldn't even believe it. You know, you're watching the stuff on TV. And I remember some cold football games and some cold tailgate parties, even after we had the dome where you're outside and that's the best you can get out when you run into a friend and say, hey, JC, how you doing? But everybody loves a winner. And people are very, very excited about this 4-0. Now, while that's going on, of course, the Battle Hawks just didn't look good. They couldn't put anything together. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but the networks are already running promos for the USFL. I totally forgot that there was one, you know? Where are all these players coming from? You got the NFL, all the best players are there, and you got two other leagues. I mean, I understand the American appetite for professional football, but this is starting to get a little bit ridiculous. Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt. I don't think we have to worry about them, although I will say this. I'm getting a little... this World Baseball Classic thing worries me about September. You know, the human body has so much to offer, and what it offers is finite, because somehow your body knows it's September. You've been playing ball for 6 months, and then you talk about it is a huge difference between spring training games and actual baseball games where you're trying to kick the shit out of each other. And this is quite the demand. Quite the demand. I hate to put it this way, but if in the month of September you notice the Cardinals just seem tired, you might have to look back 6 months or so and go, But outside of Trey Turner, I mean, it's been all Goldschmidt and Arenado. And then last night, it looked like you were watching a Cardinal game. Goldschmidt, Arenado, Wainwright started. He didn't look like he was going to get out of the first inning, but he did get out of the first inning with only a run. And then went, what, four plus, almost 5 innings, I want to say. And then Miles Michaelis comes in, and he was pretty much lights out. So, you know, it may have taken us 61 years, but this is finally payback to Cuba for that Cuban Missile Crisis bullshit in 1962 because we just wiped them off the baseball field yesterday evening. And for those of you watching that Valspar golf thing, my subdivision popped up on camera a couple of times. There was a drone flying around trying to get this really wide shot of the entire golf course. And in doing so, they got the surrounding neighborhoods. And honest to God, I live like as the crow flies, probably maybe 2 miles from that. And people ask me all the time, well, are you like a Floridian now? I will never call myself a Floridian. I like warm weather. I do not like cold weather. I love the anticipation of snowstorms. I think it's fantastic. I love, you know, getting excited about an impending snowstorm. But after that, you can have it. After about 36 hours, get me the hell out of here. So I'm just in Florida for the warm weather, and we still have 2 houses in St. Louis. Well, we actually have one, and we have access to a second one, to be more clear. And the original plan was to be down here during the school year because I got a 13-year, so I got to go to school somewhere. And so basically snowbirds and then be in St. Louis for the summer. And then, of course, the pandemic hit and everything got knocked so far out of whack. And now I don't know what we're going to do. But it doesn't matter, particularly as it applies to the podcast and radio. I've told you this a million times. I've got St. Louis TV stations on all my monitors here. I'm watching everything all the time. I still talk to my friends in St. Louis, you know, every day. I probably know more about what's going on now as somebody who doesn't live there full time. So when the new radio show starts, if you haven't already, you'll figure out I'm on top of this. I'm still on top of all this. Speaking of which, wet week. You know, there's rain in the forecast every single day. This week doesn't mean it's going to be raining nonstop, but there's rain in the forecast every day this week, and the temperatures are going to be all over the place. Cold, really, it's going to be almost 70 degrees. What is it, Wednesday, I think it is, almost 70 degrees. And then Dave is already sort of sounding the alarm that there could be some big storms in here late in the day on Thursday and again on Thursday night. So as you plan your week, just sort of keep that in the back of your mind. Thursday may not be a very nice day in St. Louis. But back to baseball, Nolan Arenado hit on the hand. The x-rays came back negative. He probably will be fine. I would like to address the distributors, the owners of the Imodium company. My wife and my 13-year-old were out of town for the last 4 or 5 days, and so I was preparing meals for myself. I must have done something wrong. I don't really know what it could have been. I mean, I'm assuming it was something I ate, but it was one of those periods for about 36 hours where, let's just say, I didn't go far from the house. And I want to say something about Imodium. Imodium's a good product. It's a good product. You take a couple of Imodiums after you're having intestinal issues, and it does the job. It works. It does exactly what they say it's going to do. Ever since I had my gallbladder out about 10 years ago, it seems to be wreaking havoc with my down there region. Not every day, but from time to time. And so I always make sure I have some Imodium. Got it at home, got it in the car. It is the packaging that I want to address. You know, Paul Reiser, who used to host the Grammy Awards back in the 90s, he did a really funny bit once, an opening monologue for the Grammys, where he was talking about the packaging for CDs. Because if you'll recall, when you would buy a CD, it would take you about 15 minutes to get the goddamn thing out of the packaging. And then they had like a lot of things that you buy at Costco and hardware stores and stuff like that. They package these certain things. They package in really, really hard plastic. The kind of hard plastic that when you're trying to open it, if you're not careful, it will slice your hand right off. Man, I don't know why some of the stuff we buy has to be in packaging like that. Now, the big violator is the ink for printers. You go to Costco and you look at 62 or 64, whatever it is. You bring it home and it's like, I'm going to need some sort of hydraulic equipment to get the motherfucker open. Now, in that case, I can understand it because I'm imagining that air is probably not a good thing for ink cartridges. So, if you're going to package something, package it nice and tight so the air can't get out of it and dry it out. That I understand, at least. But there's way too much stuff, I think, way too much stuff that is packaged that way that doesn't need to be. So then we get to the issue. What's Kent saying? How cold? What?
Normal. And the winds are beginning to pick up in spots, and it should be a breezy afternoon as well. We're under mainly sunny skies, but we'll get a few clouds occasionally. So sunny today, but warmer. Southerly.
He said that with passion. Okay, a little on the windy side, but like I said, temperatures are all over the place this week. Anyhow, back to the packaging. So now you get to the Imodium. And again, you buy pills. Most of the time, buy a Tylenol. Buy some Tylenol, okay? Comes in a little container, a little vial. You get a knife or something. You get that packaging thing, that little thin layer of plastic around the rim of the top of the canister. And you get that off of there and you childproof it open and you get your pills out. For whatever reason, the Imodium people, and there's like a lot of cold medicine like this too, like Coracidin, and then there's Dulcolax if you have the other problem. What they do is they print these flat aluminum and cardboard sheets, I guess you'd say. You know what I'm talking about. And most of the time what you do is you push on the pill from the top side and it pops out the back of the thin aluminum foil thing on the other side. And you get your pill, you take it, and then you wait. Imodium, for some reason, is basically locked. I do not understand the packaging of Imodium, because they put them on, like I said, these little flat things, and then you peel off like one of them. There's a little perforation thing. You get one. Now, it's like, well, how to get the motherfucker out? Well, they have a little slit, just a little slit that only goes like maybe a half an inch. And I guess what you're supposed to do is pull on that, like rip it, but it never rips. It never rips. And you end up standing there with this twisted piece of cardboard, plastic, and aluminum of some sort, and you can't get the pill out. So if you don't have a scissors, and even if you have a scissors, it's difficult. But if you don't have a scissors, you're pulling on it, and it just will not open. It will not open at all. So you're sitting there fighting with it. Now, let me just tell you something. The last thing in the world you want when you're having issues involving diarrhea, the last thing that you want is to have to be sitting there grunting while you're... Because the outcome, shall we say, can be dangerous. And I don't think they have thought that through. And then I put this picture on Facebook yesterday, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. I buy a package of odor eaters yesterday because I washed some tennis shoes. And I figure I'm going to put some nice fresh odor eaters in there. And it feels so good, too, when you put them in there. And then I got my Good Feet Store inserts in there. You put those shoes on. Oh, they just feel so nice. They go buy a package of odor eaters, bring them home. Two left feet. You're supposed to get a right and a left. The guy doing the packaging had one job. Make sure there's one for the left foot and one for the right foot. But no, not for my package. The one I bought, two left feet. Anybody got Eugene Levy's phone number? Oh, God. Laura's back. Oh, thank God.
Ew.
I'm always trying to steal the spotlight.
Well, you're back, too.
Yeah. Well, that's... That's a whole different story. Laura Hediker, in the flesh.
Yes.
Looking like $1 million, first
Thank
of
God, me. Broadcasting's been saved.
You got that new mom glow.
You do?
I do?
I thought you were going to say new mom smell.
Well, you
that's,
got that.
That's the 4.5 pounds of makeup she has on every day.
Pretty My big. Advice, then.
I did. Yeah. It took a while.
Good God.
Feels good. Lumi.
Yes.
That is a vain individual there. A vain individual. If you ever run into Laura... You'll notice that her makeup seems to be applied with a paint roller, and she takes very few pictures without that amount of makeup on. And the pictures, and I got some pictures of her. First of all, her hair is brown, all right? So she's just bleached blonde. Fuck it, who cares? Everybody's favorite anchor people, Brent Solomon on Channel 5. anchoring the news and keeps referring to the guy who's running Russia as Vladimir Putin. I can't even do it the way he does. Vladimir Putin. Like the T's not there, and it's Vladimir, and he can't do it. But what surprises me, or maybe I shouldn't be surprised, I don't know, but what surprised me is that nobody in the newsroom, nobody at the TV station, the news director, the producers, you know, is somebody say to him, will you please learn how to say Vladimir? Because you're embarrassing the whole fucking television station by calling him Vladimir. It's not Vladimir.
I'm Brent Solomon. Today, Russia's president, Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin. I'm Brent Solomon.
What's this guy doing? I do not know what is going on at the major television networks and their news departments. Of course, we had the Matt Lauer scandal. Then over at CBS, you had the Charlie Rose scandal. The entire Fox News channel is just, I don't even know where to start on that. We'll be here all day talking about Fox News. And even ABC in on the thing because you got the Amy Robach scandal. Although I'm still not 100% sure that that's a scandal, but that's a discussion for another day. But do you realize that 4 out of the 5 major networks have had major scandals in their newsrooms? Everybody but PBS. So if you watch this guy on the weekends on Good Morning America, real handsome guy, weather guy by the name of Rob Marciano. Rob Marciano. Well, he's been off the air for the last month because, what do they say here? An alleged incident left a colleague feeling uncomfortable. I'm not even really sure what that means. I mean, like in my case, I sort of specialize in making people uncomfortable. There's nothing wrong with that, to shake people a little bit loose from their moorings. People like JC Corcoran, he's caused chaos wherever he's gone. Yeah, it's my job to cause chaos. Most places are old and stuck in their ways, and they don't even know why they're doing what they're doing the way they're doing it. And you start questioning things and go, all right, well, what if we do this? Well, we've never done it before that way. So what? Who cares? Try it this way now. Maybe you'll like it better. I'm being paid to cause chaos. This maybe isn't the best example, but I got to know Harold Ramis fairly well. And everybody knows him. He used to make these great movies, but they had heart. They had heart. They were funny. They were outrageous. But they, you know, it came right down to it. They had heart. And Harold told me once that, you know, a good portion of the work that he did was people would send him scripts and say, okay, we got this script for a movie. It just doesn't seem to be working. It's just missing something. We don't know, but here's the script. Is there anything you can do with it? And Harold would sit there and he'd read the whole script and go, okay, I can think of 100 places where I can make this funnier or more entertaining or more touching or just move the thing along. Or what if you took this character and had him do this or made this gal, this actress, maybe she shouldn't be in this. Maybe it should be a different kind of, you know. So he would sit there and he would fix Hollywood scripts. And then they would make the movie. That's sort of how I've always seen myself. You know, you got a radio station and it's up and it's running and it's, you know, either not doing so well or maybe it's even doing poorly. And they're like, okay, we need something. And you're going to come and do the morning show, but it's going to be, your presence is going to produce a ripple effect. We sort of want to wake everybody up. You know, you see that in sports, too. You know, you'll see a baseball team 10 games out of first place at the All-Star break, and they make some trades to bring some people in. It's like all of a sudden the team starts, you know, maybe even overproducing a little bit. People just want to focus on the crash and burn situations. I mean, everything ends up crashing and burning. You know, any form of show business, movies, radio, television. Remember when Channel 5 was so big that you could add up the ratings of all of the other TV stations and they didn't equal what Channel 5 had, all right? That's not the situation anymore. The 1970s, the Cardinals were a miserable team. So people are always trying to do things to shake things up. That's a good thing. Look how much fun Henry Winkler's morgue was after Billy Blaze came in the movie Night Shift. All right. The Hello Deli, owned and operated by Rupert G., is up for sale. I guess it's just not the same without Dave being there anymore. There's a restaurant on Olive, and it's a good restaurant. About a half mile, maybe a mile west of 270 on Olive. Let's just say it has a tropical feel to it, okay? Somebody sitting there the other day, and I think they had a birthday celebration or something. They're taking their time, and they're having a nice time, and they're ordering. They ordered. Their bill was over $100. And near the end of the meal, the server comes over and says, you guys are going to have to leave. And they're like, why? Like, well, because we have a 90-minute limit on tables. All right, let's just talk about that for a minute. I can see both sides, you know. Turning over tables, as they refer to it, in the restaurant business is really, really important. But if I run up a $100 bill and it's a special occasion, I don't expect anybody to come over to the table and go, hey, that's really nice and everything, but get the fuck out. You know, you can have it as a policy, but whether or not you go around enforcing it, you got to be careful. You don't do more damage than good. Tomorrow, we are told, is going to be the day. And by the way, he's not going to be brought in handcuffs. He's not going to do a perp walk. It's not going to look anything like that. This is all going to be done behind the scenes. They're not going to be in handcuffs or anything like that. So if you're looking for that, you're going to be really, really disappointed. And there probably won't even be any video. So it'll just be something that you hear about that happened, as opposed to having some totally unprecedented video of a former president of the United States being taken away in handcuffs. But there's some people who are like, well, he's not in power anymore. He's not in power anymore. So this idea of filing charges against him about the insurrection, which they'll eventually get to, I mean, tomorrow's going to be the Stormy Daniels thing, but it's the insurrection and then the situation with the voting in South Carolina. Those are going to be the other two legal cases that Trump is going to have to face. But there are some people who go, well, he's not in power anymore. Leave him alone, you know. And Stephen Colbert said, so you want to let him off scot-free for insurrection because he's no longer in power. That's like acquitting Jeffrey Dahmer because he's full. Pretty good line. Pretty good line. Oh, by the way, we were talking about that World Baseball Classic just a little while ago. Trey Turner's game-winning home run, getting lots of people. This is in the eighth inning, sent Team USA to the semifinals. All right. Bryce Harper's game-winning home run in the eighth inning to send the Phillies to the World Series. Over the course of 5 months, 2.2 million views. Trey Turner's game-winning home run in the eighth inning, the World Baseball Classic the other night, 4.5 million views. In 3 hours, answering the question, is anybody interested in the World Baseball Classic? Apparently, it's a resounding yes. Alex Jones, remember him? Loses his legal case and is on the hook for $1.4 billion in damages to the families of 8 victims of the Sandy Hook shooting. Well, it turns out Alex is shooting money all over the place, giving money to relatives, his wife, trying to make it look like he doesn't have any money. I thought that was against the law to do that, to start, you know, basically transferring money away. So then when they come to you for the money and go, where's the $1.4 million? Oh, I don't have any money. You may have noticed I have not brought up the NCAA basketball tournament, the March Madness. I haven't because everybody is so pissed off that there were so many first and second round upsets that everybody's bracket is shot to shit. Cast of Ted Lasso will meet with President Biden today at the White House to discuss mental health. Biden teased the meeting by tweeting a photo of a Believe poster above the office, the Oval Office doorway. Tyra Banks leaving Dancing with the Stars after 3 seasons. She replaced Tom Bergeron and Aaron Andrews back in 2020. Lynn Goodman is also leaving. He's been a judge on the show since its debut in 2005. I don't know if there's anything really to this or if this is just TMZ's usual bloviating bullshit, but there's a show on tonight on Fox at 8 o'clock called TMZ Investigates 9/11, The Fifth Plane. Very skeptical of the whole thing. We'll see what happens. It's all recorded. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Late night tonight, Florence Pugh on with Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel's got Jennifer Hudson. Bob Odenkirk on with James Corden. Everybody else is off. Denzel Washington in talks to join the Gladiator sequel and a 9-hour A 9-hour cut of Avatar 3 will air as a Disney series on Disney Plus after the theatrical version runs in theaters. So the guy who played Kurt Warner in the Kurt and Brenda movie, Zach Levi, sort of laid an egg with his movie over the weekend. Shazam! Fury of the Gods only made $30 million. That's not good. There was a time when an opening weekend of $30 million was a big deal, but not in this case. UFC fighter Jeff Molina came out as bisexual after video surfaced of him performing a sex act on another man. Well, that will do it, won't it? Most people know Sam Neill from the Jurassic Park movies. Sam Neill is a real good actor. He's a real good actor. And I've talked about this movie for a long time. The movie came out about, oh gosh, maybe 20 years ago. And when we landed a man on the moon, there was an interesting dynamic where to be able to get the live video of Neil Armstrong walking out onto the surface of the moon for the first time at that particular time and everything like that required that one of those giant, giant satellite dishes, you know, one of those things you could play soccer in. It's like, you know, half the length of a football field, maybe even longer than that, but one of those big, big satellite dishes on the southeastern coast of Australia. They needed that to be able to get the pictures, to be able to get the video live back in 1969. And there's a little movie called The Dish. Now, there's a couple of other movies that have titles that are close to that, so you got to make sure you're getting the right one. But it's called The Dish. If you like a good independent movie, now if you like car chases and Arnold Schwarzenegger and all that sort of stuff, you're not going to like this. But if you like a good story, told well, acted well, with a lot of quirkiness, and boy, oh boy, the movie is called The Dish. He is so good in it. It's such a good movie, and almost nobody has heard of it. Almost nobody has heard of it. But if you get an opportunity to see it, I give it my highest recommendation. I just love every frame of this movie. Anyhow, Sam Neill is in it. He was just diagnosed with stage 3 blood cancer last year, but he underwent treatment. He's been in remission for 8 months. He says he's fine now, so good for him. This one probably will surprise you. I know it surprised me. A movie website called The Numbers put together a list of the 100 highest grossing comedies at the domestic box office. So just in this country and just comedies. Number 10, Ted. Had no idea. Mrs. Doubtfire at 9. Beverly Hills Cop, Ghostbusters, Bruce Almighty at number 6. That made over $250 million. The Hangover Part 2 at 5. The Hangover, the original, at number 4. Meet the Fockers at number 3. Home Alone at number 2. And the number 1 highest grossing comedy at the domestic box office, Minions 2022. $369.7 million. Birthdays today. Kathy Ireland is 60. Brian McKenna and I interviewed her at the Ritz-Carlton years ago. She was, you know, okay. I mean, she was a little dull, and she was just all business and didn't want to play, didn't really want to have any fun. She just wasn't that kind of person. We were a little disappointed, but she sure looked good. She's 60 today. We should all be so lucky. Holly Hunter, 65. Spike Lee, 66. Interviewed him 3 or 4 times. He's one of those guys, we've talked about this before, he's one of those guys that sizes you up very, very quickly. You come walking in the room, and in the first 30 seconds, he decides whether he's going to just do something robotically or whether he's actually going to have a real, honest-to-God interview with him. And I hit it off pretty well with him on, I would say, probably all the occasions. I don't know what it was, but we got along. He's 66 today. Carl Palmer, who I just saw in concert about a year ago, the last man standing of Emerson, Lake and Palmer, 73 today. Bobby Orr, Hockey Hall of Famer, 75. Pat Riley, former head coach of the LA Lakers in his prime, 78 today. Hal Linden, I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know he was still alive. He's 92. Barney Miller. John and Yoko got married on this date back in 69. Gloria Estefan had her broken back when the tour bus she was in was hit by a skidding truck on an icy Pennsylvania highway. She was back on stage within a year. Eric Clapton's 4-year-old son fell out of the window on this date back in 1991. Basic Instinct was released on this date in 92. And Lyle and Eric Menendez were convicted of first-degree murder for killing their parents. Good plan, guys.
Lyle and Eric, Lyle and Eric, have an IQ lower than Bo Derek. Off to jail they'll go, go, 'cause shooting mom and dad's a no-no. Lyle and Eric seem much calmer. Soon they will be joining Jeffrey Dahmer. If convicted, brother, you can't fry one without the other. Lovely little vignettes.
Man.
Never throw anything away. Never throw anything away. Dennis Blair was the opening act for George Carlin for 14 years. Always trust the archives. Taylor Swift has finally launched her latest tour. You'll know if you pass her tour bus on the highway. You know, it's the one towing the big cat tower. And Jeremy Renner says acting is no longer a priority in his life. I guess that's okay as long as he doesn't start a snow plowing business. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Monday, March 20th, 2023 is in the can. 10 days until opening day. We are here every weekday morning at 11. Please spread the word if you can. Contact me, JC at jcontheline.com, by email, Facebook, the Showgram with JC Corcoran. I have to go out now and purchase a new package of odor eaters. That's what my life has been reduced to. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.